640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Justice Department asks the U.S. Supreme Court to block a Texas immigration law from going into effect until next week and has granted the request. The law allows police to arrest migrants who enter the country illegally. More from CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
The Justice Department has argued in court that this SB4 law will interfere with federal law enforcement, that it ignores U.S. asylum law, and that it also jeopardizes relations with Mexico, which has denounced the proposal as anti-immigrant.
Also today, the Supreme Court blocks Colorado's attempt to remove former President Trump's name from the ballot. The high court rules that Trump must appear on that state's primary ballot tomorrow, but it did not rule whether Trump was guilty of insurrection. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold says she's disappointed with the court's decision.
Ultimately, this case will allow federal candidates who are oath-breaking insurrectionists to get onto ballots without much question.
Trump has not been convicted of insurrection. Voters in over a dozen states and the territory of American Samoa will cast their ballots tomorrow, Super Tuesday. President Biden, former President Trump, and former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley have all been campaigning. CBS's Robert Costa reports.
It really is a turning point. Nikki Haley has struggled to accumulate delegates, though she did well in the Washington, D.C. primary. So you see Trump taking control of the delegate lead likely on Super Tuesday, but also taking control of the Republican Party in his image. His lieutenants will be installed in the coming weeks, I'm told by my top sources, to run all aspects of the party in different state parties and, of course, at the national level.
A blizzard dumps over 7 feet of snow in Northern California and portions of Nevada, and another round is in store. CBS's Carter Evans with more.
Over 3 days, this historic storm walloped the Lake Tahoe region with about 2 months' worth of snow, and the Reno area got hit with half a year's worth. Wind gusts up to 190 miles per hour were recorded on some mountain peaks, and some woke up to a wall of snow several feet tall. Even maneuvering a snowplow was a challenge in the blinding blizzard.
You just use your peripheral.
The United States is urging all Americans to leave Haiti as soon as possible after an explosion of violence over the weekend. Armed gang members overran the two biggest prisons and freed thousands of inmates. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
We're working with international partners to provide immediate support to the Haitian National Police and expedite the deployment of the multinational security support mission that will help restore security urgently.
Stocks edge lower on Wall Street. The Dow closed down 98 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wickihoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin taxpayers with kids are getting a tax break. Governor Evers is enacting a bipartisan bill to expand child and dependent care tax credits from 50% of the federal credit to 100%. The total tax relief should add up to $73 million a year. On Friday, Evers vetoed three Republican tax cut bills. Suburban women in Wisconsin have a lot to say about who wins the race for president. That's why First Lady Jill Biden was in Waukesha Sunday talking about reproductive rights.
We are the first generation, and I think someone said this, in a half a century, to give our daughters a country with fewer rights than we all had.
Vice President Kamala Harris plans to be in Madison on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Pack is back from the Combine. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers front office, back from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, GM Brian Gutekunst, CEO Mark Murphy, and special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia were there. A report says the team's still trying to restructure Aaron Jones' contract, but that running back A.J. Dillon will not return and is likely headed to free agency. Badgers running back Braylon Allen was there. I asked him how his interview with the Packers went.
It went very well. I enjoyed talking with them. I liked everybody on the staff. It was a really good meeting. Just broke down some film, ask me some, you know, kind of football IQ questions about fronts, pressures, different defenses, things like that.
Baseball spring training, the Brewers with a 10-4 win over the Diamondbacks. NBA, despite a loss to the Nuggets, the Lakers' LeBron James becoming the first player ever to reach 40,000 career points. The Bucks spent Sunday working on their defense, their first practice at home in over a month.
We managed to figure everything out eventually.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong this evening. Breezy with a low in the upper 30s. Tomorrow starts off cloudy with some sunshine for the afternoon and still kind of breezy. Highs to the mid-40s. And lots of sunshine for Wednesday. Highs again mid-40s. Currently it's 44 degrees.
Tune in for a Super Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll bring you all the electoral results and more 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. For hour number two, we are broadcasting live statewide from our beautiful City Deck Landing studios here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay. We got a text. Our question is, since it is National Sons Day, who is your favorite TV or movie son? Who would you want to be your son from movies or TV? From the 818, Bridget says, Richie Cunningham. I knew we were going to hear Richie Cunningham's name. He is such a good son. The he is such a good son sounds like it was Marion Cunningham that wrote that in, but that's a great answer. So let us know what your thoughts. And you can chime in on anything we're talking about right now, especially what we're talking about right now. Musician Pat McDonald has agreed to stick around for a few more minutes because we're having so much fun. At least I am talking to him and telling us about his illustrious, fantastic career.
I'm having fun, too.
Thanks, Pat. It's so great to have you here. We talked about, right before the break, Tambourine. I love that name. Tell us a little bit about Tambourine.
Well, that's because we have this little music venue next door to the Holiday called that we also have as part of our thing, you know, and it's called the Tambourine Lounge. And or just the Tambourine for short. And for some reason, it just hit me because we've done it for a couple years. We have little Halloween events at the Tambourine Lounge. And last October, it just hit me. Wait a minute. Tambourine, you know, so this has got to be an annual thing, you know, and, you know, be developed into something.
I love it.
It's Dark Songs event, you know, it's called Dark Songs and it's, you know, the version of Steelbridge Songfest where we wrote songs based on dark subject matter. We did use it to try to help save an old granary in town.
Oh, nice.
And wrote songs about a haunted granary and stuff like this. And so that there's a preservation aspect to our events. That's part of our Steelbridge Creative Foundation is the name of our organization. That's the nonprofit side of things. I should say that if you want to go to events at the Tambourine Lounge, you can go to steelbridgecreative.org, steelbridgecreative.org. And there's a calendar and you can get tickets there and it'll show you what events are coming up.
That's so cool. What is that like when you have that many musicians and songwriters all under the same roof? You must be in heaven in a situation
like
that.
I was in a kind of heaven, and they all were in a kind of heaven, and everybody really misses it. And it's really sad because since COVID came around, we kind of stopped doing them, and everybody's thinking we should start them again someday, and hopefully we can. There was a shift, you know, that sort of made it more difficult to do them ongoing. You know, like a lot of venues went out of business during COVID and stuff.
If you ever start them up again, let us know. We'd be happy to have you on here to sort of help get the word out, because it is a great thing. You talk about venues.
I will.
Yeah, you talk about venues, Pat, and seeing Johnny Cash. Who have been your influences that influenced your music and helped you find your sound?
Yeah. In the early days, I just remember hearing Rockabilly records. My mom and dad played them in the house, and my mom had a guitar and she sang Hank Williams songs and stuff.
Oh, wow.
That had a big influence, but the thing that really kind of, well, I saw Ricky Nelson on TV. Remember the Ozzy and Harriet show? And that's the earliest stuff. But then, you know, then the Beach Boys and the Birds and the Beatles all came around the same time. The three B's.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. And then the biggest B was Bobby Dylan. Bob Dylan at the time came out. And that kind of, that really sort of set me up to want to be a songwriter, because he seemed to do things that seemed like magical at the time to me, you know, like more than just like the normal songs that were being written. So yeah, that was the earliest. But since then, there have been a million people who've influenced me. Like everybody influences me. Like I have so many friends who are songwriters. We all influence each other.
That's a great answer. And what a fun time to be growing up and finding music with all those great voices on the radio. That must have been incredible.
Buying the records, you know, buying the 45.
Yeah.
Playing the A side, B side all afternoon, you know.
I wonder if like kids now or just even some adults that are younger even understand what the phrase B side means. I always loved bringing home, I think on The Who, there was a song they had called You Better You Bet. And on the B side was a song called, I think The Quiet One or something. And I like the B side more than the A side. And that was always like a huge discovery, right?
Yeah. Oftentimes, you know, well, maybe you play the A side three times in a row before you get to the B side, but then the B side has a slight advantage because you're kind of maybe a little burned out on the A side by now.
Right. And, that's true. Know,
so, yeah, but I remember exactly what records I remember, you know, Mellow Yellow and Sunny South Kensington was a single that was a Donovan single, A side, B side. Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze, The Wind Cries Mary. That was another big single. So many, you know, you can remember the B-sides.
Right.
And those songs are forever joined in your mind, even though it was maybe just some record exec who threw them together, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't matter how it happened, just that it happened. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've written songs with people like, at least what it tells me online, Stuart Copeland, Keith Urban, and you've written songs for artists like Aerosmith, Cher, and Night Ranger. How, when you write a song for someone else, like those are very different artists. Is it all how you compose it, or are the actual lyrics different? How do you go about writing songs for different artists?
Well, there was a time when I really wanted to do that. Actually, when I first started writing songs and like in the early 70s, late 60s, I never pictured myself to be a performing artist. I really always thought I'd be a songwriter and not be a performing artist.
Huh.
But I was in Nashville for a while, early on in the mid-70s, for about a year, and learned a little about collaboration back then, writing with other people. And writing for other people is kind of an extension of collaboration, because you're collaborating with them, but you're also writing for them, because they're the artist and you're the co-writer. And so I did that with a lot of people, like Cher, for example. We wrote a bunch of, you know, a handful of songs together. Other people, I'd fly down to Rio de Janeiro and write a bunch of English lyrics for Marina Lima, who was a big star at the time.
Oh,
and
fun.
I just looked at it like, for me, it was like, it was a combination of psychoanalysis and writing poetry. It was that, you know, like I knew these people, they needed certain kinds of songs, and they were at a certain point in their career when maybe I could write a song that might be meaningful to them, or, you know, have something that would connect with their life or their mind or whatever. And so it was always, it was a puzzle, but it was also kind of a meditation, you know, to try to know an artist and write something specifically with them, but for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my guest is Pat McDonald. He is a music industry titan, singer, songwriter, founder of the band Timbuk3, joining us on Nightlight tonight. Pat, I have one more question, then I'll let you get on with your evening, and I really do appreciate your time tonight. Do you prefer playing live alone or with a band? Do you have a preference there?
Well, I always did both for a really long time. I always had a solo thing on the side and always played with bands, and I like doing both. But right now I really love doing, so I'm working up trying to get as big a solo repertoire from as far back in my catalog as I can go, because I have my favorite songs, you know, so I get to pick my favorite songs I've ever written and nice. Do new versions of them, and that's fun. That's what I'm doing. I'm kind of converting them all to finger picking songs. And that's a real challenge.
Yeah.
I never used to do that, because playing in bars, you had to be as loud as you could, and you couldn't get an acoustic finger-picked guitar up very loud.
Interesting.
So I resorted to more bombastic and more over the years. Now I'm kind of reverting back. I'm playing the songs that I would never dare play, you know, 20 years ago when I wrote them, because they were too quiet or too, you know, whatever. And hey, by the way, speaking of the Tambourine Lounge,
yeah,
I'm playing there March 23rd.
Oh,
this month,
cool!
Actually, yeah. And if people want tickets to that show, that's March 23rd. It's a Saturday in the Tambourine Lounge. They can go to steelbridgecreative.org and get tickets for that.
Very cool, Steelbridge.
I'm playing in April at the Tarleton, which I'm really looking forward to, because also Tarl, who owns it, we have a long history with Steelbridge Songfest. He started coming to Steelbridge Songfest when he was a kid, like 11, you know.
Jeez.
And Pat, he was a whiz of a young kind of prodigy songwriter.
Oh, nice. Well, Pat, I appreciate your time tonight. You have an open invitation. Anytime you want to come here, try out some new stuff. I love having performers in the studio. When I come back from a break, I'll pitch all these places and where people can see you. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
I really appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's good to meet you, too.
Yeah, likewise, buddy.
I've seen the trailers to your movies.
Oh, thank you. Have a great night, Pat. We'll talk soon, I hope.
Okay.
All right. That is Pat McDonald. So much fun. We'll be right back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air. Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back. Well, that was really fun talking to Pat McDonald. It's fun to meet new people, and especially people whose work you have heard before and admired. So that was great having Pat on. And I told him I would push his dates coming up. The Steel Bridge, you can go to steelbridgecreative.org and get tickets for his March 23rd show. That is at the Music, the Holiday. I need to look at, Conrad, let's find out the name of that hotel.
Was it the Holiday?
It's the Holiday Music Hotel in Door County. And that, I believe, is also where Tambourine is. And Pat also has a date coming up April 23rd at the Tarleton. So you can see Pat locally, kind of an institution here in Northeast Wisconsin and in the music business in general. So that was a lot of fun. We'll have to have Pat back soon and talk to him some more. I had several questions I didn't get to, but we'll do that next time. So we got some texts here. Our question: who is your favorite TV or movie son? It is National Sons Day, after all. So that's the question we're asking. The last one we heard was Richie Cunningham. I love this. Ross from Crawford County from the 608 says, and I totally forgot about this, but this is great, because Lamont Sanford, the cool guy dealing with his crazy dad. That's Ross from Crawford County. That's a great answer. And when I was a very young kid, I remember seeing Red Fox on that show and thinking, actually, how much fun it would be to live with him, not realizing until I got older that he probably would have been very, very difficult to live with. And then this, I'm sorry, I did not see while we were talking to Pat from the 608. This is Steve. I'm a longtime fan and a musician heavily influenced by Pat, but I'm interested in what he thinks about the restrictions on hair occurring in Texas. I know Pat was involved in a landmark case regarding length of hair. I did not know that. And Steve says, keep on keeping on, Pat. We'll have to remember that. And that I will be Googling that after the show. I'm not aware of any hair. Although, if there's a restriction on hair, there are probably just a handful of states where you think that might happen. And Texas is probably one of them. Also from the 920. Oh, Conrad's mom finally chiming in. Paula, we were getting worried. Marty McFly from Back to the Future. That's a great one. I would also add, when I heard Richie Cunningham, it made me think of Jimmy Walker from Good Times. A great TV son, kind of a fun character who was always a thorn in his dad's side. You know what, Conrad? I think we need to get my son on the phone. It is National Sons Day.
Okay.
I'm gonna message you his number here, and let's try to get him. I don't know if he'll pick up. I don't know if he's a fan of the show or not, but we'll see what we can do. And I am totally spacing out on his number. Bear with me, folks. It is National Sons Day. Tell us who your favorite son is. So we'd love to hear. We got some really good answers so far. And
you know, I think I'm going to go with Marty as well, actually.
Marty McFly?
Yeah.
Like mother, like son.
Yeah. She said that, and I was thinking it as soon as she texted in. So I was like,
really?
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty cool. Marty McFly is a great son.
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you this number here. I'm breaking it up in case someone's hacking. I'm not giving out my son's phone number
over the interwebs. Hey, Jim Healy will be along shortly. We're going to talk about David Wardwell, the legendary film professor at UW-Madison who just passed away last week, I believe on February 29th. And I'm anxious to talk to Jim because I didn't know much about David Wardwell or his contributions to the film industry. And I feel silly, but I'm just being honest. I'm excited to talk to Jim and learn even more about David and his contributions to the Criterion Collection as well, which I thought was pretty cool. So, and what do we have, Conrad? We had, did we play both our Orange County clips? Oh, Conrad's on the, oh, he's on the phone. Is he on the phone? Is he answering? My own son on National Sons Day is blowing me off. How do you like that? Conrad is the son.
Yes. Yes, and I am.
I'll tell you what. If you don't get a hold of Joe, you're my new favorite son, Conrad.
Oh, thank you.
And you haven't even been on TV. You've been on the stream here on Facebook.
Yes.
But all right, if he calls, we'll put him through. And you know what? Even if he calls while Jim's on, because Jim knows Joe, we can discuss briefly. So that's cool. So Marty McFly, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Anybody else? What about the kid from That 70s Show?
Oh, I mean, he's not...
Kelso?
No, it's Eric Foreman. And then his dad is Red Foreman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he's always calling him dumbass?
Yeah. I don't know if he's the best son, because he always gets in trouble with his dad, like, every episode.
He's not the guy that, like, had all the allegations against him, was he?
No, that was Hyde in That 70s Show.
So Kelso is the Ashton Kutcher, right?
Yeah, and okay. He plays the person who's not all theirs sometimes.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do
that
too.
Would say though, Eric is a really funny character in that show, and I wouldn't say he's the best son, but he's a great actor in it.
Yeah. All right. So I would say also, you know what? And while we're on Marty McFly, Michael J. Fox, I should say, was also a great son. What's the name of the show? Not All in the Family. Family Ties. He was in that show, and he was really good. He's just a good actor, but that would be another one, I would think. All right, we got another text here. This is from the 773, Ron Howard. Just Ron Howard in general. And we talked about Ron Howard last week because it was his birthday. He's on the Andy Griffith Show, which I admitted to never really watching. It was before my time. But Andy Griffith, then Happy Days, and then he's like this crazy, incredible filmmaker, director. He's a great real life son too. Have you ever heard Ron Howard in an interview? I'm sure he's got like a few skeletons in his closet. Maybe he's hard to work with. I don't know, but he just comes across as like the most cool, down to earth guy. I don't know. That's a great answer, Ron Howard. So were you able to get a hold of Joe?
I will call him right after the break because we don't have that much time.
That's going to cut into our Healy time.
Well, you said he knows him, so you guys can all right. Talk.
I think we can have a little powwow, maybe catch
there,
up.
Yeah, there you go.
Jim will have to sit through Joe telling me what a great dad I am on National Sons Day, even though it's Jim's giving me the thumbs up. That's okay. Maybe we'll ask Jim who his favorite son is, TV or real life. So he has some great answers. I want to say Jimmy Walker is probably my favorite TV son because I love that show. I loved Good Times. I loved the music, the family. I love that they slept on a couch bed. On some level, I always wanted to be like cramped, like just people on top of people. And I come from a family of seven with one bathroom. There's a lot of cranky people in my house day to day. But we will, you can still get in on the fun if you want to tell us who your favorite. 773 Catherine, gasp. Oh, dear. What did I say? Who's your favorite TV or movie, son? Let us know. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It doesn't get more simple than that, folks. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk about the legacy of David Wardwell at the University of Wisconsin-Madison with University of Wisconsin's own and Wisconsin Film Festival's own Jim Healy. He will be up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
get no rest. Don't know how I work all day. When will I learn? Memories get in the way.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A win for the Biden administration as the U.S. Supreme Court temporarily puts on hold a new Texas law that allows police to arrest migrants who enter the country illegally. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez.
The Texas government has said that this is needed to deter illegal crossings in light of a lackluster federal response to the record levels of illegal crossings.
The U.S. Supreme Court rejects Colorado's attempt to remove former President Trump from the Republican presidential primary ballot over the 14th Amendment insurrectionist clause. Trump is pleased.
I want to start by thanking the Supreme Court for its unanimous decision today. It was a very important decision. We're very well crafted.
A blizzard slams portions of California and Nevada. CBS's Carter Evans.
We got 4 feet of snow here, and there was some wind blowing it all around, so we got drifts higher than I am. We got piles of snow 25 feet where they've been doing snow removal. They were doing snow removal throughout the storm.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two of Donald Trump's lawyers who helped lead Wisconsin's false elector scheme have settled a civil lawsuit against them. Lawyers Kenneth Chesbro and Jim Troupis will have to turn over 1,400 pages of documents, emails, and texts detailing how they came up with the plan. The 10 Republicans who posed as false electors settled in December. Neither Chesbro nor Troupis have to admit any wrongdoing in the settlement, though Troupis will have to pay an undisclosed amount to the plaintiffs in the case. Republican State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere is running for Congress. Jacques is running for Wisconsin's 8th congressional seat, which is being vacated by Congressman Mike Gallagher. He's the second Republican to announce their candidacy for the seat alongside former State Senator Roger Roth. No Democrats have announced yet their intention to run. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong this evening. Breezy with a low in the upper 30s. Tomorrow starts off cloudy with some sunshine for the afternoon and still kind of breezy. Highs to the mid-40s. And lots of sunshine for Wednesday. Highs again mid-40s. Currently it's 44 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, I welcome entertainment reporter Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. We'll be talking Oscars. They're just around the corner. And some local teams here in Wisconsin in the UW system are doing great. Local hoop teams. Jimmy Cusco will join me tomorrow night to discuss that as well. And we'll get an update from what happened at the Combine with Mike Clemens. I want to know what Mike ran the 40-yard dash in. Conrad, any guesses?
I'm saying a 4.4.
You think Mike Clemens ran a 4.4?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say a 6.4.
I got faith
Nothing
in him.
Nothing against Mike, but I mean, you know. Okay, so we have not much show left, but a lot of show still to get to. So let's jump right in. First, I want to welcome UW from the University of Wisconsin-Madison Film Festival. And the Jim, do you book all the films for Cinematheque?
Good chunk of them.
Good chunk of them.
90%.
You sound 85%. Like you're being modest. Okay. Jim, welcome to Nightlight.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Can you put up with a couple minutes of me hearing what a great father I am?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. It's National Sons Day. Think about, Jim, I'm going to bring Joe in, my son, who you know, and I want you to think about who your favorite TV or movie or real life son is. So we'll ask you that. Give you a minute to think about that. Joe, right. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Jim Healy is on, too. You know Jim. You could say hello to Jim.
Yeah. Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Hi, Joe.
Joe always told me, Jim, that where I fail, he thought you'd be a pretty good father.
Yeah, he's probably right.
So, Joe, happy National Sons Day. This is very exciting.
Yeah, thanks.
I just want to
expect a lot when you get home tonight, bringing a gift or something.
Well, I'll pick up something at Walmart on my way home, but I just wanted to tell you, you're a great kid. I know I haven't always been the best role model. I'm not great. I'm not handy around the house, stuff like that. But, you know, I hope I provided you with a good male role model.
Oh, yeah. I mean, entertainment role model, great. You know, you're a funny guy. You know a lot about the entertainment industry. But, yeah, throw a drill in there and I might have a problem.
Well, luckily you've got your grandfather. He can fill that void.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, I just wanted to wish you a happy Sons Day. I hope it was a good one.
No, well, thank you. Appreciate it.
I'll pick up some flowers on the way.
A lot of people are recognizing the holiday.
Yeah, that's about time, right? All right, Joe, you are not grounded any longer. Thank you for jumping on. You've worked your way out of your punishment.
Of course.
All right. All right, have a good night. I'll see you later.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. Is Joe Schwabba, a great son on National Sons Day. And he's lucky he picked up the phone because Conrad would have replaced him. Conrad was like counting his blessings over there. Okay, so let's get back to Jim Healy is with us from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Jim is the director of the Wisconsin Film Festival and books, in Jim's estimation, 90 to 95% of the Cinematheque films. Jim, David Bordwell, am I saying that right? I've never met David, but I always feel strange when like a legend has passed away and I have some connection to the university and I knew of him, but I didn't really know what his contributions were. Can you talk a little bit about him?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I can talk a little bit about him and we wouldn't even scratch the surface in terms of what his contributions were. I mean, he was a professor in Madison at the University of Wisconsin, taught film, both to undergraduates and graduate students for over 30 years, you know, as a full-time professor. He retired from, you know, being a full-time teacher in 2004 after more than 30 years. But, you know, of course, did not retire from teaching. I mean, his influence just kept going. I mean, first of all, he was a constant presence. He wasn't teaching, but you know, I saw him at least twice a week, every week. Wow. He'd just come around the office, and he kept an office because he was a professor emeritus, and he was always doing research and work for his blog. I think he published more than 10 books since he stopped teaching, and you know, and then he kept writing his blog, which had, you know, entries usually every week. The books, a lot of the books and the blog, of course, co-authored with his wife, Kristen Thompson. So the books got out there, and then he started recording, along with Kristen and another professor, Jeff Smith, these videos for the Criterion Channel. I guess first it was Filmstruck. First, he started doing contributions for the Blu-rays and DVDs. You know, he would do commentary tracks. And then he started, you know, filming these like video essays where he would narrate. I just watched two of them that are up on the Criterion Channel. It was nice to hear his voice. But you know, on all kinds of subjects. I mean, he was the ultimate cinephile. He just loved and endured every era and every aspect of film history. Going all the way back to the silent era. I mean, he knew so much about the silent era. But you know, his contributions were absolutely essential. And you know, he became a critic of sorts with the blog and his books, but not the kind of like evaluative critic. You know, the person who would say, you know, is this movie good or is this movie bad? His criticism was through studying the form and figuring out how movies work. You know, for the most part, he was interested in movies that he enjoyed or that he knew had an effect on an audience, and he would look at them and find out about, you know, what are the aspects of the way this particular director is working, or this particular aspect of the production, the sound design, this performance, to move an audience, to get a certain kind of reaction out of an audience, and he just was tireless in that kind of film studies.
It's interesting because, you know, like I said, I'd heard of him just because I am in Madison a fair amount and I've hosted stuff for PBS in the past, but I'm always, how do you go from professor of a Midwestern university to when you're being eulogized by the New York Times film critic or the LA Times? Or what was it about him? Was it just the blog or the way he critiqued film that made him kind of famous in the film community?
Well, he was the best at it, but he, you know, his books, the ones he wrote with Kristen Thompson, Film Art and Film History, are the most published, most distributed, most translated film textbooks. And they're great. They're just, you know, they're really great. So that, you know, disseminates his thoughts and his writings throughout the world, but also because of his leadership and his expertise, the film department at UW-Madison in the communication arts department became, you know, a place where other leading scholars wanted to come and, you know, and learn from him and go to his lectures. And then they themselves would, you know, get their degrees and go out into other universities. And so that's how his legacy spread throughout the world. Now, when it comes to people like Manola Dargis of the New York Times, and then there are filmmakers like Damien Chazelle, who did La La Land and Babylon, and David Koepp, who was the screenwriter of so many great films and became a director himself. You know, these are people who reached out to him after he would write something on his blog that, you know, was in the words of another film critic who was just praising David's writing as, you know, sane and fact-based. You know, he wasn't the type of critic, he wasn't interested in, you know, putting his own, you know, psychology or his understanding of human psychology or any other aspect of identity or or anything else reading onto a film. He was interested in how it was made and what made it work for an audience. And so when filmmakers saw that, they said, you know, here's a writer who truly understands, you know, what makes my work work, you know?
Yeah. Did he was obviously a great writer. My guest, by the way, is Jim Healy. He is a, with UW-Madison, the Wisconsin Film Festival, and programs Cinematheque, which is an outstanding. Are all the films at Cinematheque free, Jim, to the public?
They are.
Oh, that's so great. Take advantage of that, folks. They put some amazing films up on really state-of-the-art equipment. It's a phenomenal program. And Jim sees more movies than anybody I know.
David Bordwell saw more than I did.
Well, you met your match, I guess, in the professor. He's obviously a great writer. He's written books and a blog. Did he ever try to write films, or did he just enjoy watching them and kind of critiquing them?
No, I as far as I know, no. I think the closest he ever got were these, you know, wonderful little video essays that, you know, use the scenes from the films to illustrate his narration, his points of, about the movies. They're kind of wonderful little movies in themselves. Like I said, I just watched a couple of them, but just devoured movies and loved, you know, so many different kinds of movies. But, you know, back to, you know, your other question about how did this guy go to become a legend who's being written about everywhere? And, you know, a lot of that is just based on his generosity and kindness and affability and his sense of humor. And he was just a guy you wanted to be with, and he let you know, that he was interested in what you were thinking and what you had to say. And not just with his students, but with, you know, moviegoers who would come to the film festival and the Cinematheque and anybody. He was just an overall kind person with everybody, but he really liked you if he knew you had shared his passion for cinema.
So tell me a memory you have of him and talking about a film with him. What was the film, and take us there?
I went to see a lot of movies with him. You know, it was about 5 or 6 years ago. This comedy came out called Game Night, and you know, I didn't. Oh, yeah. That had you know, decent actors in it, and I think I might have seen the trailer for it, but you know, was in no rush to see it. And apparently, David wasn't, but he got a tip on it, and and I said, yeah, you know what, you know, let's go. So we went, and it was the middle of the afternoon, one of the Marcus screens here in Madison, and boy, we just, you know, were hit elbowing each other in the ribs the whole time. The movie was just a scream, and it was such a pleasure to see him just enjoying himself. And we had a blast. There were occasional times we disagreed, but you know, he was always you know, he liked to sit up close at the movies and take it all in, and that was always part of the fun. That was a wonderful experience I had with him. And you know, there were just other things that he knew how to be a good movie lover too, and not an overbearing one, you know, like
right.
Like I said, I think he saw more movies than anybody ever knew, but he didn't go around boasting his numbers, and you know, if you wanted to talk about a certain movie, chances were that he saw it, and you could talk about it with him. But you know, he encouraged your enthusiasm about movies, but at the same time, he knew that there were certain cinephiles and critics who used their movie love as what he called blunt force cinephilia, you know. So like if you cross their taste lines,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
they let you have it, and you know, and would, you know, and would attack you personally, or you know, or,
right,
or you know, find something to say. And he was just, you know, just a decent man too, you know.
That's great.
The last few years.
Hey Jim, hold that thought, okay? Oh. But okay, hold yeah, that thought, ahead. And then I want to ask you what you've seen lately. I'm talking with Jim Healy. We'll be right back with more Nightlight after this.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Welcome back. From the 920, Jim from Appleton says, it took a while. But my favorite TV son is Will Robinson from Lost in Space. That's a great answer, too. Thank you, Jim. Good stuff tonight. Great texts. I'm talking with Jim Healy. He programs UW Cinematheque in Madison, and he is one of the directors of the Wisconsin Film Festival. Jim, you were talking about how we're talking about David Bordwell, the UW professor on films, and who recently passed away. You said he wasn't in your face, and that drives me crazy, especially when critics, I feel like they can get personal. I've had a critic get personal with me, and I made an independent film, and he was supposed to be a Wisconsin nice guy. Why do people get like that, and why can't they be more like Professor Bordwell?
I don't know. I think maybe it's the idea that your opinion is your only, and your evaluation of a movie is your only currency, right?
I think so, yeah.
And David showed us that you can celebrate and talk about movies, you know, forever, and it doesn't have to have anything to do with what your immediate reaction or evaluation of them is. You can say, well, you know, this was interesting. This part worked for me. How did it work? What was the director doing? This didn't work. Why didn't it work for me? You know, and then, you know, and you could also, if you didn't like something, you just didn't discuss it. You didn't bring it up. It wasn't, you know,
who cares?
It is a strange thing. So when that's your bread and butter, when you're, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, I guess it's important that everyone knows, you know, what weapons you're wielding.
Conversely, I mean, I said I didn't like something, and people will say, they'll take it personally, just as a fan. Like, do you have points on the back end, or did you write this? Like, the way they dig their heels in, you're right. It's like this film represents their entire bit of self-esteem. It's so strange.
That's part of our culture, too, you know?
Yeah.
Like that competitiveness, you know,
that's
tribal,
true.
You know. I like Star Wars, you like Star Trek, you know.
All right. Speaking of which, we have a couple more minutes left. Did you see Dune 2?
I haven't.
Okay.
I struggled with David Lynch's Dune, and I'm a huge David Lynch fan. I went to see Dune Part 1, and just caring about it was a
struggle.
I'm curious to see this new one, and they made all these 70mm prints. I kind of want to try and see it, but I haven't rushed out. I've been so busy locking down our Wisconsin Film Festival schedule and looking at, you know, movies
right
for the festival, a lot of stuff that people haven't seen yet. I haven't been out to see anything. I went to see The Beekeeper in January, which is normally the type of movie that I would go to with David Bordwell.
Oh, nice.
And you know, and I missed his opinion on it. I would have known to have loved to have known what he thought of it, but I had a good time with that one, and
I did too.
And then it didn't go to anything for like a month, but I enjoyed The Beekeeper, and then I saw Wim Wenders' Perfect Days, which is one of the five international films nominated
right.
for the Oscar. It's a German director working in Japan, and I really liked that one quite a bit.
I gotta tell you, I saw The Beekeeper as well, and I liked like the first 3/4 of it. Then it just got outlandish and like 80 million guns firing at a guy and they don't hit him, and that, and it was good. Like I thought it was fairly grounded in reality up until then, but I'm more this phenomenon of like, he's a regular guy, but he's also a trained assassin. He's a beekeeeper, or he's a snowplow driver, or he blows right. glass, you know. It's like all of a sudden, right. Oh no, he's a trained killer too. I love that right. whole
He's an actual beekeeper who belongs to a society of government assassins called right. beekeepers, just coincidentally.
Oh, it's so great. And I will agree with you. Dune 1, I watched this weekend with my son, and he said, we should watch this before we see Dune 2. And he warned me, he said he thought the whole film was to set up Dune 2, which I saw, and I won't say anything. I'll wait until you see it because I'd love to discuss it with you, but I don't know that Dune 2 needed that much setting up in the event of a 3-hour film. It still looked great, but I was at the first 3 or 4 minutes, they start saying the narration. I was already lost. I'm like, the Arkanins and the Harkonnens and who's what? I was just like, okay, I'll just look at the beautiful desert, I guess. It was crazy.
It's the same way in the Lynch film. And the Lynch film has this long scroll coming up and you're supposed to figure out what's going on. And then another character shows up and starts spouting narration and continuing the same story. Like I'm just lost.
Well, we'll have to have you back on before the Wisconsin Film Festival. I would love to have a more in-depth conversation with that about that with you. Yeah. But I appreciate you jumping on to tell us about another UW legend that we lost. And I'm sorry for your loss of your friend. It would have been fun to watch the two of you talk about movies.
Yeah, thanks. I miss him.
Yeah, you bet, Jim. Have a great night, and thanks so much. We'll talk soon. That is UW-Madison, another legend at UW-Madison, Jim Healy joining us, and always fun to talk movies with Jim. Conrad, did we learn anything tonight?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everyone can get something out of Nightlight, I feel like, every night.
I think so, too. I think we provide, like, a sounding board.
Yeah.
Through the text we get. Most of them, anyway. I don't know. Last ones here.
They might be for the Dom and Crude show.
Yeah, maybe. I hope so. Or they haven't been listening. I don't know. But we've had some good suns on National Suns Day. And there's some really cool thing going on. Some cool things going on with the UW colleges. Have you been following that? All the playoff basketball?
Well, I stopped paying attention to the Badgers after they were the 6th seed and now lost like 4 in a row or something like that. So I'm disappointed in their season right now.
Well, I'm talking about like Platteville and Whitewater. Jimmy Cusk is going to be here tomorrow night to talk about what's going on with some of the smaller schools. That's really cool
no,
stuff.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. In other parts of the state. So that'll be fun. Rob Thomas will be here to talk about the Oscars. Always fun to talk about movies with Rob. And I want to hear what Rob, I don't know if he's seen Dune 2. I think Rob was on vacation, so maybe he hasn't seen it yet, but we'll talk to Rob about everything he's seen. It's going to be another great night of light tomorrow. Mike Clemens will be here, too. It'll be fun. I want to thank my guest tonight. Legendary, great Pat McDonald was here. We'll have Pat on again soon. He's got a few pretty cool shows coming up, Jim Healy. And as usual, thank you for being with us and participating in the show. It's always so much fun reading your texts and taking your calls. We will be back tomorrow night. This is Pete Schwab with Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Tune into The Earl Ingram Show
Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.